wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your calling on us to love you with all of who we are and to love others. God, we thank you for partnerships. We thank you for the gift of Stonebridge and the impact that this school has on its students. And we pray, God, for the world, locally, nationally, internationally. God, that we would be beacons of hope and light, that we would lead towards a world that is peaceful and truly believe that it's possible. God, I pray this morning as I speak that somehow you might speak through me. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear exactly what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding. God, that you would place someone on our hearts and mind this morning, and that we might actually be willing to have our hearts to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Some weeks ago, back at the end of January, we had that beautiful snow. Anybody remember that snow? It was snow, and then it had lots of ice on it. And you can actually go some places and still see the remnants of it. Hopefully today will be the end of that. But we have a neighbor. His name is Jerry, and Jerry is such a gift to the neighborhood. Jerry has one of those ginormous snow blowers. And a lot of times you just wait to hear Jerry sort of fire it up. You're like, I could start shoveling or I could wait for Jerry. Because I know Jerry's going to come out. And on that particular day, he did. However, something was a little bit different about this year. This year, we had had an older snowblower sitting in our backyard for 3 or 4 years, never getting it started. And we had a friend who said, hey, I'll come over and fix it for you. And this year, our snowblower worked. And this year, I was excited to fire that thing up. And I fired it up, and I said, I want to be like Jerry when I grow up. So I started going driveway to driveway, starting with ours so I could get out. And I went to the neighbors, and I discerned, because this was my first time, and I'm not Jerry, that I should ask before I do their driveway. So we get to our neighbors who are older, and I go up and I knock on their door. And I say, hey, can I do your driveway? And they said, we're not going anywhere, but it's fine. And I said, okay, I'd love to do it. And she said, hey, before you go, is there anything that your family needs? And I was just sort of blown away by this question. So I finish their driveway and I'm like, no, we're fine. I can't believe she would ask me if we needed anything. And then I get to the end of the driveway and Jerry comes over. I'm sure a little sad that I've taken away some of his work. But he says to me, I always do their driveway. And I said, Jerry, why? They were kind of going back and forth. And he said, I want to make sure, because they are so vulnerable, that if fire or rescues need to get here, their house would be open. And I was like, Jerry, that's why you're you and I'm me. So I thought, how much does he care about the vulnerable in our community? And then a few weeks ago, we were playing bingo here at the church. And one of the first people that won was a kid. And I always think it's good when kids win. Like, adults, we don't need prizes. Kids need prizes. So this kid wins, and I'm observing this other child who's there. And he is getting sadder and sadder. Y'all, bingo, there's no skill in bingo. Right? You're just lucky. He had an unlucky card. And finally, another adult won, and they took their prize over, and they gave it to him. And I thought, isn't that beautiful that we look at kids in our community, this story we just heard about Stonebridge students, we look at kids who are vulnerable, and we want to do something about it. Later, at the end of the night, one kid never won, and I was just watching his face, and I didn't even know I wasn't in charge or anything. I just went and took a prize off the table and gave it to him. I said, you win. He said, no, I didn't. I said, take the prize, kid, right? Kids are vulnerable. And a lot of our partnerships deal with kids. We need to pay attention to that. And then Amy Taylor, a few weeks ago, stood up on this platform and talked about those in our community who were incarcerated. and the work that she's been doing with some others in our church and the impact that was making on the lives of people. And then, I don't know, 15 people in this church that Sunday said, I want to make an impact on people's lives. See, there's something really beautiful when we see people who are vulnerable in our community and say we want something different for them. We want a life that's different. We've been in this series for the last 4 or 5 weeks. This is week 5 as we head towards Easter, where we've been looking at this concept of the reckless love of God, where we've been talking about how do we love God with all of who we are and how do we love our neighbor as ourselves. And we started with beginning with love, and we looked at how we draw the circle wider and expand it. How do we get to lavish love? What does that look like? We've talked about getting agitated and having a bigger open-hearted love. And today I want to talk and take this a step further and look at how we value the vulnerable. Not how do we tolerate the vulnerable, not even how do we care for the vulnerable, how do we value? Do you see the difference in that language there? How do we give value to those who are vulnerable in our community and in our world? When we look at the work that Jesus did, the people he interacted with and took the disciples to connect with, time and time again, we see Jesus noticing the people who are ignored. We see Jesus connecting with the people who are put on the outsides, on the fringes, because the social norms of the day, the rabbinical laws were very clear about who's clean enough to be in and who should be out. It was very clear about who was allowed and who wasn't allowed. And Jesus broke the norms because his value for the vulnerable was greater than those things. Jesus had this way not only of valuing people, but then showing them their value and ultimately showing their value to other people, helping people experience value in people that they had never experienced before. Jesus had the capacity to do that, and it changed people's lives. Why? Because I truly believe at the heart of every human being is this desire to belong, this desire to be loved, this desire to be part of something. I don't know if you've ever experienced this phrase, the phrase, you don't belong here, you're not like us, get out of here. You ever experienced that? Maybe it's not said verbally, but have you ever walked into a room where it's very clear that you're not welcome? You're not invited. You're not allowed. You're not supposed to be here. You don't really mesh with the rest of us. And sometimes that comes in the form of you walking into a space and simply nobody talking to you. Sometimes it comes, do you know the question that I ask at every event that I'm going to? What am I supposed to wear? I am so conscious of walking into a room and everybody else going, you're not dressed right. They might not say it verbally, but you know when people say it with their eyes. Oh, you wore that. And it's this way of othering people and putting them on the outside of the conversation. There was this story. My wife loves Dax Shepard. If you want to know anything about Dax Shepard, just go ask her. She loves his podcast. She listens to his podcast. Like she listens to Dax more than she listens to Tim. I'm just telling you. So there was this podcast, Expert on Experts, that I was listening to some time ago with Dax Shepard. And there's this guy that he's talking to, a great accent. His name is John Hari. And it talks about a story from the summer of 2011. It was in Berlin. There was this anonymous housing project that's mentioned. And in this housing project, they had raised all the rents almost to the point of kicking every single person out. It was so expensive. And this was a really diverse community of people. And there was this woman named Nuria that lived there. And she was at a point, Nuria, that she just couldn't stand it anymore. And she wrote on a sign. She got out of her wheelchair. She was in a wheelchair. And she wrote on a sign this: I got a notice that I'm going to be evicted on Thursday. So on Wednesday night, I'm going to kill myself. Strong words, powerful words. And you know, I went back and forth as to whether or not I was going to actually put that word up there. I think sometimes it's important for us to know how deeply the vulnerable feel. And she said, I just can't go on. I can't do it anymore. Now, no one knew her. No one in the entire complex had ever met her. In fact, not many people knew each other. This was a community of Muslim immigrants, gay men, punk squatters, all kinds of different people. And they see this sign in the window, and all of a sudden, it starts to draw this attention, and people start knocking on her door. She says, go away. They're not going to do anything. Go away. So a large group of people started blockading the street. They built this blockade in front of the house so that no one could get to her. And she said, tear it down. There's nothing you can do. But the story got bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, the blockade got so big that it became a permanent structure in the middle of the street. No one liked what was going on from the outside of the community, but this community started bonding together. Nuria was partnered with this woman with pink hair. And she said very early on, we have no connection. There's nothing for the two of us, but they found out they did have this really beautiful connection. They realized they were both in this community because they'd been thrown out of situations in their lives. They had been discarded. And that was the common theme that happened. In fact, there was this man that joined their community. And he was a man that dealt with really strong mental health realities. And he came into the community and he started living there. And there were people looking for him and they came and found him and they tried to place him in an institution. And all of these folks that had lived there, a big group of them went down and they said, he's our people. We'll take him back. Give him to us, as he lived in the center of town in this place. Now, there's a really beautiful ending to this story because ultimately the rent was frozen. Everybody got to stay. And this isn't actually a story about freezing rent. This is a story about someone who felt no value whatsoever, Nuria, and thinking she was the only person in the world that had no value. And ultimately, there were a bunch of other people around her that felt the same way, and then they felt community. They felt loved. They felt like they mattered. They felt like they were part of the story. I wonder, and I ask you again, have you ever felt like you were out and other people were in? Maybe it's been in a church. You know, the church doesn't always do this well. Sometimes we make people feel like because of something in their life, they're out. I can't tell you the number of people that have come to me and said, yeah, I can't go to church. I've done this in my life. I've had this. And I'm like, who told you that? Who told you that you couldn't be loved in the church? And for some of you, it's not the church. For some of you, it goes back to middle school. Oh, God bless folks who work with middle schoolers. And I'm not saying that pejoratively. It is such a transformative season in a kid's life. And to give them value and to tell them they are loved. Maybe you felt that way because you were the last person picked for a team. Maybe it goes back to elementary school. Kickball. Oh, being the last one picked was awful, right? Watching somebody be the last one picked for something is terrible. But see, what's beautiful about Jesus, one of the reasons I think this term reckless even came up for the love of Christ is that he sees each and every one of those people and says, you have value. You are loved. I mean, think about it. He looks at sinners and he forgives them and redeems them in a society that says they can't be forgiven. He looks at outcasts, those who are physically ill, those who are dealing with mental health realities, tax collectors, those on the outside, and brings them inside. He looks at Gentiles, literally, the term means not Jew. And he says, you are loved. He healed them. He spoke with them. He looked at the poor, walked with them, identified with them as Christ lived his own nomadic life as he moved around. Now, I want to take us back to 1 John today, and I want to look at three simple verses, just three, that come in chapter 3. It says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Woo. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Guys, this text is so clear. You cannot claim to love God with all of who you are and not love the vulnerable. You cannot claim to be transformed by the power of Christ and not have this love for those who are vulnerable in our communities and our societies. I mean, we talked already about lavish love, but look at what it says here. It says, we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And in response to that lavish love that we receive, we get this challenge, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. You know what that means? Don't just talk about loving people. Do it. Don't just talk about caring for the vulnerable. Get out there and actually care for them. And I was trying to think, what does this look like practically? And I was meeting with somebody this week who I really see as a coach, a mentor to me. And this person gave me this first phrase, and I thought, this is so true. Be curious. What does it look like to be curious? Being judgmental and being curious are two different things. Being curious suggests, I want to know your story. I want to know your background. I want to know about you. I can almost guarantee you there are people in some facet of your life that you haven't met, that you haven't connected with, and whatever reason being that is, you've put them off in a corner. Be curious about them. Come to know their story. Want to know who they are, because everybody has a story, friends. And when you are curious, it helps people open up. Amy Taylor stood on this platform and told a story of a woman who was incarcerated, who was sitting there. When they first asked her to talk about her story, she sat there like this. And it took some time, but over time she opened up and she shared her story. Be curious about people. Here's the second thing. Engage people. Connect with them. Talk with them. I think what Jesus does so well with the disciples is he models for them what it looks like not just to hand people something, but to connect with them. To talk with them, not to them. To learn more about them. This story of Nuria was so powerful because other people knocked on her door. She could have put that sign there and it did nothing, but people engaged her. People came and connected with her. Now here's the good news. The rent got controlled, but I don't actually think that's the most powerful part of the story. The most powerful part of the story is now they have relationship and connection. They're known and they know one another. And I'm curious, how are you going to engage those who are vulnerable in your community? I love that we do these bags, which are due back today, by the way. I love that. What's the next step? What's the next step beyond creating a bag for someone? How do we connect? How do we engage? And finally, and this one seems silly, be kind. Doesn't that seem silly to have to say? My mom used to say that to me as a kid, be kind. Be kind, be extra kind. Be kind, friends. People all around you are watching you. If there are kids around you, they're watching you. If there are people around you and they know that you are part of the church, they are watching you. What does it look like to actually be kind? To begin with love. I think kindness is a big part of the climate that we need to create in our culture right now. And we need to name it. When people aren't being kind, we need to tell them, hey, be kind. And we need to be kind to others. I love the season of Lent because it is a journey. It is a journey that begins on Ash Wednesday, takes us through to Good Friday, ultimately to the first Sunday of Easter. I love that because I think it represents the journey that Christ has with us. None of us are going to be perfect at this today. None of us are going to walk out and go, we get it at all. This idea of valuing the vulnerable is a decision and a choice that we wake up and make each and every day, that we are called to, that Christ models for us. So today I want to invite you to think back over the last few weeks in your life. Who's a person that's vulnerable? Just think about it. Could be somebody you love. It could be somebody you know deeply. Maybe it's a parent and they're just super vulnerable. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's somebody you pass by on your drive in the morning. Who's vulnerable in your life? And now I want you to think of a valuable thing about them. What makes that person valuable to you and to others? And now, how can you name that value to them? There is a guy that we work with in Guatemala who's lived there for a long time. He's from Canada. And I remember a couple of years ago when I went on the trip, he said, but who am I? I'm just a dumb, cranky old guy. And one of the things I really, really love about our team is how our team speaks love into his life and value into his life. Friends, we have to do that in the world. We have to help people see what Christ already sees in them, and we have to name that because that's what Jesus calls us to do, and that's what's transformative in our lives. Amen. Amen.